Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon.
Hi, Fred.
Hello, A.J. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort, if you want to get in today. 713-780-ESPN is your number on the HRNP listener line. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message, and Aaron will read it on the air if it's good. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on the Twitch channel, guess what?
You can do that.
Indeed.
Kind of weird, but hey, whatever you're into.
Hey, people watch on there. I don't know why.
Whatever
I think
you're
they like to see you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's really what it is. But
the most handsome man
in the room.
The room.
What's going on?
Sports and stuff, man. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. Just feeling a lot better today. Okay. Ready to rock and roll.
Were you down in the dumps yesterday?
No, yesterday I was exhausted. It's just
okay.
And a lot of stuff just finally caught up with me. And I was thinking at one point, if I don't take a day off, then I'm going to come in here with a machete and kill everybody who wants to have a meeting.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
But you know what? I slept about 12 hours last night.
And that did the trick.
That did the trick.
All right.
Feel fantastic. Ready to rock and roll today. Have a good show. I guess the XFL's kind of got a lot of mainstream media coverage.
Oh, yes.
USA Today actually did week one power rankings.
What? Let's hear it.
Number one, your Houston Roughnecks.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the line on the Battle Hawks this week?
I don't know. I haven't seen that yet. I'm going to look that up, Aaron.
I feel like Battle Hawks are getting disrespected after the big week one upset.
I know. And, you know, they were 10-point dogs. They went in there and pounded the Dallas Renegades.
Yeah, come on. They don't care about point spreads.
Your D.C. Defenders with Cardell Jones are number two.
Okay.
New York Guardians, number three.
All right.
Number four, your St. Louis Battlehawks.
Respect.
Five, the Seattle Dragons.
Okay. Picked to be the worst team.
Yeah. The L.A. Wild. Well, I think it was between them and the Battlehawks were supposed to be the worst.
Okay. The Vipers were supposed to be the best, and you haven't mentioned them.
Nope, yet. And we've still got a ways to go. Six is your Wildcats. Well,
not that much of a. There's only 18, right?
Okay. And guess what? They're not number seven. That's Dallas.
No, they've gone from they've gone from first to worst in 1 week.
Yeah, and I love this because here's what they say: quite the first week for the Vipers. They went into their opener against the Guardians as the favorite, but they scored a league low 3 points. They have the XFL's first quarterback controversy with Aaron Murray sputtering and calls for Quentin Flowers to start. And they fielded cries on social media for Coach Mark Trestman to get the boot.
Oh, no.
Well, they're already trying to fire the coach. Well,
what? I mean, I think it's overreaction. I mean, let's give them a chance here. Come on, guys.
It was week one.
It's week one.
Oh, but I love that they're getting coverage in all these places. Actually, that's tomorrow morning's column I wrote about the XFL. It's not exactly – it's more about how – the easy part is the first week for these startup leagues.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot more, I mean, from here that they have to do.
So I checked pregame. I checked my bookie. Nobody has a line out yet, but the Action Network is projecting it to be Roughnecks -7.
I may have to take some Hawk. May have to take me some Hawk there.
I mean, that's just disrespect to the Battle Hawks, if you ask me.
Although I watched that game, and I think it was more that the Renegades are a little bit overrated, at least at the start of the season.
It's possible.
So, yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We got a fun show planned for you today. We got a lot of non-sports stuff. We got a lot of sports stuff. We're going to have Ryan from 8th Wonder in here, hopefully at 4:15. Talk a little beer. That's the plan. Although, you know,
I like beer.
I know. I know. And
I'm a simple man.
Well, I like beer. They also do vodka and gin now. They've got a distillery down there.
Oh, hey.
Have you been there? It's actually, their vodka's terrific.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah. We'll ask him about that. They're doing a bunch more new stuff down there, too. They're just constantly building. Okay, I'm going to count that 405.
I had a really painful belch right before the show started.
Really? Yeah. You should have saved that because then
I couldn't.
Then you go on the injured list.
I couldn't hold it.
That's too bad. Man, we talked about the playoff changes that MLB was thinking about. Have you seen how the players have reacted? It's like almost everybody says, "What a horrible idea." I think we said it was a horrible idea.
Yeah.
They didn't listen to us.
No. They never do.
But so hopefully somebody's listening. It just sounds so dumb. And yeah, and if you didn't see it, the idea is to add two more playoff teams, and then whoever has the best record gets a bye. Whoever has the second best record, they get to do a reality show where they pick the team they play out of the others.
Which, ridiculous.
And I my first thought is, what happens if you have those playoff games that they have to do, the one-game playoffs, and that team has to play like a day later? How are you going to pick that?
I don't know.
You just build in a day, and then if there's a rainout, I hate the idea and everything about it, but I'm just glad that people who are involved actually hate it too. So St. Patrick said, just bought a new truck and driving it off the lot listening to the Blitz off to a good start.
Yeah, put it in the presets. You should have test drove like 15 trucks and put it on all the presets in every truck.
That's a good idea. You know what? Next time you guys are buying a car.
Are you a team player or not, guys?
Yeah. Just help us out a little.
You know what? Anytime you're in a rental car, if your car's in the shop, do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know what? If you're in an Uber or a Lyft, ask.
Or if you work for a car wash and you're washing someone's car, change all of their presets to 97.5. Zero chance you'll be fired.
Well, as long as you tell them AJ said I could do it.
Yeah, no big deal.
I'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. I'll talk to your boss if they call me.
Not any worries.
Actually, email's preferred. Not call.
The other thing I wanted to get to, it's now official. Romeo Crennel is returning to your Texans as assistant head coach.
Is that different than defensive coordinator?
Well, I guess that's kind of what he was 2 years ago when Mike Vrabel was defensive coordinator.
What will his job entail? Because he's been relieved of duties as defensive coordinator.
See,
I'm no expert, especially on an organization as flat as the Texans.
Right.
But it almost sounds...
Say flat or fat, because that's mean.
No, I said flat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're known for being a flat organization.
Okay, well, I just thought you were talking about Romeo. I was going to say it's very mean.
But it almost sounds like a promotion. Am I crazy for thinking that?
It kind of does. Here's what I imagine.
Assistant head coach seems like that's the next guy down the line.
I imagine him sitting in the press box while Anthony Weaver's down there with his gigantic menu of plays, covering his mouth, and Romeo's in his earpiece saying, "That play sucks. That play sucks. How about we do this?
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Mm-mm, not that one.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah, DC's trying to call a play, and you hear Romeo, and the DC, whoever it's going to be, he's like, never mind. Let's do the, and then he'll call another play. What do you think, assistant head coach Crennel? Well, if I were the defensive coordinator, this is what I would run here. And okay, let's go with that.
And my record's been really good the last few years. So I would listen to me.
Well, I mean,
could somebody get me a burger?
And then Romeo would say, excuse me, defensive coordinator, how many AFC South titles have you coordinated to victory? That's right.
Well, that's the mic drop for them, isn't it?
Yeah. That's what
it is. That's Bill O'Brien's mic drop?
Yes.
It's Romeo's mic drop. AFC South Division champs. Look who did it.
Suck it.
Speaking of which, Jason Braddock has a real good Texans offseason piece coming. I believe I have it scheduled for Thursday, where he breaks down every single possibility for them from a signing perspective, who they need to keep, who's going to be out there, what they should do. Of course, they won't do any of it.
Yeah, why would they do what Jason Braddock says? He doesn't know anything about anything.
You know, I mean, he makes some good suggestions. That's why they won't do it.
What's he know?
Oh, 281 asks, can Houston people stop getting in car wrecks? This is insane. No. Every day. Man, it's always bad. I feel for you guys having to drive in this mess every day, because even when there's not a lot of traffic, people almost kill me. It happens at least once a week where somebody runs a red light or a stop sign, or they cross over like seven lanes and they're not looking. And you know, it's like I feel like I had my accident. I don't really need to have another one.
Yeah, ideally.
But it's going to happen, and I guarantee you the odds are a lot higher for you guys who are out there right now and until six or so.
Yeah.
Says, I work at a car dealership. I'm a car detailer, and for the past 2 years, every car I clean, I leave it on 97.5.
All right, there you go. But you got to change the presets. Take it a step further.
Oh, man.
People love when you jack with their presets, I'm telling you.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday, G-Money, asking what was the best and worst thing you liked about the XFL. My favorite part of it was the transparency with the officials, which AJ and I have been harping on forever.
Yeah.
So you should be able to interview these guys after games. But hearing the replay guys talk it out, talk to the coaches, talk to the refs on the field, that made – and because I think you mentioned this, the games were a little slow. I thought that made it feel like they weren't as slow because you were actually getting to –
almost. I like how you say a little slow. They were slow.
Let's just, yeah, for as quick as it's supposed to be with the clock, I thought the games dragged a little bit.
We had a deal here, XFL. This was supposed to be like, go, 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 and it's not.
And maybe it'll get faster, but if you notice, most of the plays went down to like 2 seconds on the play clock. And you know, you gotta pick it up a little bit. So Amos says Romeo being assistant head coach gives Billy O someone to fire at the end of the season since he can't fire himself.
But he's already fired.
He had his chance, right?
How many times can you fire the guy?
Dwayne says, can the assistant head coach be responsible for clock management so the actual head coach no longer has any involvement? Well, no, because Bill O'Brien will be overseeing that too.
Yes.
Even if he were in charge of it, he'd be like, oh, no. Don't call a timeout here.
I prefer
Let's let 45 seconds run off. We're fine.
I prefer to hold on to that.
Tongue Dark Chris says, I'm going to miss Romeo standing on the sideline looking like he's waiting for the barbecue to fall off the grill. That did look like a menu.
Yeah.
All right. Casper, I hate drivers that ride your ass even when you're going 10-mile-an-hour speed limit, or 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. There's no in-between, right? It's either people are going to get right up on your ass when you're going fast, or they're going to get in front of you and drive really, really slow.
Basically, that's the two options.
Yeah, it sucks, but you know what? That's what we're here for. Keep you entertained for 3 hours. Well, now 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, we're not doing overtime today.
Yeah. Unless John Jones calls in at 6:50 again.
That's the only way.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great one. If you're not, we are. Because Ryan Soroka is here from Eighth Wonder. And you brought gifts, man.
Brought lots of gifts, yes.
Yeah, and we were talking about the most people know about the brewery. And guys, if you want to get on the Twitch channel, you can see all this stuff. I don't know how many people know about the distillery. I've been there several times. I love the vodka. I'm not a big gin guy. My wife is. But I love your vodka, man.
Appreciate that. Super smooth, 8 times distilled. And both the vodka and the gin are distilled from corn.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So and I see you brought the... You brought the Viet Irish coffee.
Viet Irish is here. This is our Jameson Caskmate collaboration. We're honored and humbled to be one of 30 breweries out of the almost 8,000 in the country that Jameson selected to partner with. And this will be our third year going on this program with them. And basically, they send us barrels and told us to design a beer and age them in their barrels. And for us, the no-brainer was to do an imperial version of our Rocket Fuel, which is our Vietnamese coffee porter.
Great beer, by the way.
Why, thank you. That beer normally clocks in at about 5% alcohol, but we knew that would not hold up to the barrels. And so we decided to brew an imperial version. It's double the alcohol. It's about 10.2%, and it's been sitting in those whiskey barrels, and it is a tasty beer.
You know, one of my favorite things about you guys' brewery is that Rocket Fuel, like a lot of breweries will, if you go to a random bar or restaurant, they'll have an IPA or a blonde or something like that. Rocket Fuel's a pretty widely available stout on draft, which in this city it's pretty rare. There's not a lot of breweries who are like, yeah, our stout is one of our mainstay beers.
And
it's
year-round.
Available year-round. I think that's a good move by you guys.
Well, thank you. You know, it originally started as a seasonal, and it is a collaboration with our friend and local coffee guru, Greenway Coffee Company. And again, it started as a seasonal, but there was a lot of demand for it. And we noticed the same thing that you noticed, that there weren't a whole lot of year-round porter stouts out in the market locally. And we thought, you know, to make that possible with 10 months a year being summer here in Houston,
yeah,
we would kind of tone down the ABV on purpose, kind of bring it down to that 5% range. And so, yeah, it's available year-round, draft cans, and it graduated from a seasonal to a year-round offering.
Who was in charge? I'm guessing you're one of the founders, right?
I am, yes.
Whose idea, A, was it to put the brewery where you guys put it? And whose idea was it, or who's the guy behind the marketing as far as like the pushing the city of Houston as sort of your brand? Sure. Whose idea was that?
So first and foremost, Eighth Wonder is a team effort. I've got great partners, great team.
Yeah, but who's the smart one? Let's just
there's
let's
no
get
smart
out
one here. I am the marketing guy.
Okay,
I'm the branding guy, and
you're a smart dude.
I am just a guy who loves beer and who loves the city of Houston, and I'm born and raised in Houston, and I know nothing else. This is, other than a 4.5-year stint in New Orleans for college, you know, I was basically born on the bayou, went to school in the swamp, and then moved right back to the bayou.
Because for people who haven't seen Eighth Wonder's beer, it's they've got a lot of like their beer's names, like Dome Foam, things like that. That if people are trying craft beer for the first time, it's going to stick out to them. And I tell people this all the time, and we've talked – Eric Warner, we've talked to about it, that Crawford Bock, I mean, it could be goat piss, and if it's in that can, people are like, I'll take it. I mean, there's – and especially you mentioned, what, three – how many thousand breweries now in the
Almost
U.S.?
Almost 8,000.
8,000 breweries. You've got to do something to stand out. And I think you guys, maybe better than anybody in the city, have done a good job marketing your beer. And getting people's attention based on the packaging, which I
Thanks.
Think it's a big part of things.
Yeah,
whether
you know,
people like it or not.
Consumers make their first choice with their eyes, and having a brand and colors and names really help make purchase decisions. Of course, you got to have the liquid to back it up.
Absolutely,
right? Branding and marketing.
If you want a second buy, it's got to be good.
Yeah, branding and marketing will only get that first buy. It's the quality of the beer and the spirits are what's going to get that purchase in the future, right? But no, it's not a one man show. We've got a great team in Eighth Wonder. We found our space when we thought of building a brewery in Houston, Texas. You know, at the time there were two breweries in Houston, Texas. It was St. Arnold and Southern Star, if you want to lump in Conroe. And by the time we opened, we were the sixth. So I think in order, I think it was Carbock, then No Label, then Buff, and then us in that sequential order. But we thought something industrial and urban and central. And so we looked – the first place we looked was East Downtown. Didn't really find anything there, and we looked on the north side. We looked down by McGregor. We looked out in West Houston. We almost signed a lease in a 2,000-square-foot house in the Village. That would have been a disaster. And then we just kind of fortuitously circled back to East Downtown and stumbled across a very rundown warehouse, and the price was right, and we made a bet on the neighborhood. And a few months later, the Houston Dynamo announced they were coming to the neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, like where you guys are located – walking distance from the Dynamo, walking distance from Minute Maid, walking distance from Toyota Center, and honestly, and George R. Brown, where a lot of out-of-town visitors come, and if people are like, hey, I'm downtown, what's a brewery I should try? Now there's a couple that have popped up around you. I know True Anomaly's down there, Sigma's a little further down the road, and St. Arnold is sort of, but it's not really walkable from, or
it's
not
close,
easily
but, yeah,
walkable.
Yeah, but not right there. We're right in the thick of it.
So you
sure.
guys, there's an added benefit there. Like if a visitor comes into town, chances are good. If they've got one or two breweries to try, you guys are right there, front and center.
Without
so
without a doubt,
I think you guys. You've marketed your beer really well, and your location is perfect for people who are trying beer for the first time in our city. So
we love it down in East Downtown. Come visit us. We're open 8 days a week. The brewery's nice. Yeah, thank you. Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. And on Sunday, we're 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. The distillery, which is just across the street, has got different hours, but it's Thursday through Sunday. But check out our website and come check us out.
What's the next plan for the distillery?
So we do have a silver rum in the works. Keep on saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, but I promise it's coming.
I think you told me that when I talked to you 6 months ago.
Yes, that was a fun event.
Yeah, so that was a great event.
Bring that back.
Can't wait to do that again.
But distillery is just, you know, it's a baby business that, much like the brewery was 7 years ago, is just getting off the ground, and we're learning. It is a natural extension and evolution of our passion for fermented beverages, but it's a different – it's a different beast, and we're learning how to play in that arena and kind of getting our bearings straight. But it's upward trajectory, and we're excited about the future.
It's funny. Friday night, we were over at Barnyard there around the corner, and we met these two flight attendants from New Zealand, and they had just come from Eighth Wonder, and they were talking about they were staying at a hotel, and that's where the hotel told them to go, and they loved it.
Thank you, hotel.
And, yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I'm hearing a lot of that now from people. For me, it's easy. I walk down 4 blocks and I'm at your place. But I've also noticed before Rockets games, before Astros games, man, you guys are getting packed now. I mean, it really has. You've built a community, I think. And I've told you this before about, I think the marketing's brilliant, but you've really built a community of people, and now you're starting to get all these out of town people coming to it, and it's such a cool environment that you guys have built.
Well, I appreciate that, Fred. You know, we've been long believers that breweries were built around communities, and communities were built around breweries, and this is nothing new. This has been going on for centuries, and we're just doing a modern Houston twist on it.
Gustavo asked this question on Twitter, and he said, what are the best options for parking at Eighth Wonder before games? It used to be that was the perfect thing to do, go park by you guys and walk to the game, but now there's a bunch of pay lots down there. I mean, the whole area has grown so much.
You'll still find some rogue street parking in there, but there are some pay lots. And look, there's not just Eighth Wonder there anymore. And yeah, we fully support our neighbors, True Anomaly, great guys, brewing some good beer, and all the restaurants and bars that popped up, Rodeo Goat, Truck Yard, Miss Carousel, Vinny's, Indianola, this new awesome coffee shop, Cafeteria. So it's not just us down there anymore. We were our own little island for almost 4 or 5 years, but the neighborhood has popped. You've seen it. You live in it. And we want y'all back. There was some major road construction that I think kept people away.
Yeah, that was a mess.
Was a mess, to say the least. We literally had a moat surrounding the brewery for about 3 weeks. We inflated some blow-up alligators and had them floating around in there. But the streets are clean. Business is back. Come visit us.
And just, I'll give this away. If you park down McKinney, there's still some spots down McKinney if you go to the other side of
Emancipation. Just let people park at your house, Fred. No,
no
big deal.
No, I don't need that.
Well, don't park on Polk anymore, because they took that used to be free street parking, and now they're ticketing, so do not park on Polk.
Yeah, Polk you can't do, but McKinney still has some on the other side of Emancipation, so just so you know. The one other thing I wanted to ask you about is because, I mean, you guys have grown so much, and you're all over the state now, too. What's next? I mean, what's the next step?
Well, you know, Houston definitely makes up the lion's share of our distribution. But we're in the greater Houston area. We're in greater Austin, San Antonio. We're in Bryan College Station, Tri-City. And we're down in Galveston in southeast Texas from Beaumont to Victoria. So we've got a nice, you know, targeted but kind of expanded distribution network. We would love to explore North Texas and West Texas. I just don't have a timeline, and I've learned from all the failed timelines in the past. I'm done giving timelines, so no timelines.
Yeah, it was funny. We went to a little bar in deep East Texas, and there was Dome Foam, and I'm like, awesome.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, you know that, and that's a beer that, it's funny because I was able to drink. I'm old enough that I was able to drink at the Astrodome, and there's just, you've done such a good job of calling back to those beers with that. Because I'll drink that, and I just feel like I'm sitting there in the Astrodome, you know, watching the rats run around during a game. But it just has that feel to it, and I think you guys have done such a good job with the nostalgia like that, and it, mentally, you kind of, at least for me.
Are you saying his beer tastes like lukewarm,
like
Miller?
30-year-old.
I don't know what it was I was drinking there, but it was good, but I was like 19.
Well, that was the inspiration, and again, I mean, I have fantastic memories spending a lot of time with my dad and friends and family at the Astrodome for Astros, Oilers, high school football games, Monster Jam, you name it, concerts, everything. I mean, it's a big part of my childhood. And sure, maybe I wasn't of legal drinking age, but I remember the guys hawking Dome Foam back in the day, and you know, we wanted to do a little tribute to that light beer, and that was a collaboration with our pals Moon Tower Inn, which you know, they're good guys doing awesome beer and hot dogs and burgers out in the East End, and we sat on their picnic table many years ago and said we wanted to design kind of a craft version of a light beer, and now it became our flagship. And believe it or not, though, some people will drink it and still say it's not quite light enough. And, you know, it's a craft beer, and it's got hops in it, and it, you know, a decent amount. And so we've taken that feedback, and we're actually excited to announce that we do have a very light beer.
A Dome Foam Light?
Not so much Dome Foam Light, but it's a new brand altogether, and it's called Tex, and it's going to launch very soon. And we're really excited about it. It's just more easy drinking than Dome Foam, if you can believe that.
I'll just tell people to piss off if they're complaining.
Do you know how many people come in there asking for a beer that we don't make, and we have to explain to them that, you know, we're a craft brewery, and we make all our own beer in here, and they just sit there kind of confused? But we'll introduce them to something, and that's part of the reason why we're proud that we offer so many different types of beer, because we try to have an offering that at least someone's going to find something on our wall that they can enjoy.
I mean, and I stopped in you guys' place a couple months back, and there was 20 probably, I don't know how many exactly, but there was 20-something different beers on the wall. Like, there is always a very solid selection over there.
Yeah, and that's by design. You know, we want 8th Wonder to be inclusive and really appeal to everyone. Beer is a very universal beverage. It's not, you know, this snooty or exclusive beverage that unfortunately wine kind of got a bad rap for many years ago. And while there are some kind of 1%ers who are sort of have that outlook with beer, it really isn't that way. It's a very easy, approachable, universal beverage, and we definitely try to continue in that tradition.
I think I've said this before. I'm a big barrel age guy. The first time I tried the Baller Status, I was like, damn. I mean, that has become one of my favorite.
Thank
barrel
you.
Aged.
That was our first barrel-aged beer. We're actually looking into bottling it. We just couldn't pass up on the opportunity with this Jameson. You know, when Jameson drops this opportunity in your lap, you say yes and figure out how to make it happen later. But with the success of this Viet Irish Coffee Jameson beer, we see the demand for barrel-aged 8th Wonder beer. So don't be surprised, Fred, if I'm knocking on your door and dropping off a bottle of Baller Status soon.
I'll like that. So this is how we'll know the Roughnecks are established, if you have a Roughneck themed beer.
We are excited for the Roughnecks, and we will try to honor them in a way that respects them, and we'll figure out something fun to do for them.
Hopefully it won't be a beer that's just there for 1 year and then it's gone.
Well, let's hope it has more legs than that, yes.
Oh, man. Well, Ryan, appreciate you coming in, man. And as you know, I love you guys. It's really cool that you're in my backyard, and I spent a lot of time there and seen you there a few times, and hopefully you'll see a lot more of me. I really want to spend more time at the distillery, man. Cool. That vodka especially.
Well, we welcome you both. Please come back, and let's hang out. Let's grab a few beers before the next ball game.
Sounds good. All right, Ryan Soroka, 8th Wonder. Guys, if you're in East Downtown, man, you know, it's kind of funny to think of you guys are the establishment now down there. I mean, it's when I first moved there, it was like everybody went, but it was kind of this island. And now with everything grown up, it's like you're kind of the centerpiece of that everything that's going on St. Emmanuel now.
We're going on 7 years. And last plug, our celebration, that's our big anniversary party, is March 21st. Come join us. We got some great music, and we got a bunch of beer.
7 years, right?
That's right.
Nice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. I apologize for not getting to all your texts. There's a bunch of questions here that I didn't get to. Some of them I'll do my best to answer. U of H fan here. Love the Cougar Paw. Any spots where I can get it from outside the brewery? I do know that they have it at East End Hardware, because I get it there sometimes. That's two. So he says, I remember when 8th Wonder was a couple picnic tables and a warehouse AC. Yeah, and they've got the I Love Houston sign there now. They've got the Beatles statues. It's just a cool environment. and they've done a really nice job. So 713-780-ESPN. So my girlfriend hates beer and refuses to try anything new. Do they have something at the brewery she would drink, fruity-wise or girly drinks? Yeah, they do. They have a lot of my wife actually, that's her favorite distillery. Like, she loves their beer, and you know, she likes girly stuff beer-wise.
They have a cider?
They do not have a cider that I'm aware of. So but yeah, it's a different, it's a really, they've really become the centerpiece of that neighborhood, and it's been fun to see, and it's all happened in the last couple of years about how much it's grown up. Because I do remember, I used to tell people, yeah, park at Eighth Wonder and walk to the game. And now you can't park there. Yeah. There are lots. There's a lot behind Eighth Wonder. There's a lot across the street.
And there's street parking in front of Eighth Wonder, but it,
but not much. And, well, on Polk, you can't do that anymore. That's what he was talking about.
Oh, okay.
But over on McKinney, and, you know, it's going to go away now that I'm mentioning it. But other side of Emancipation, you can park down McKinney, and that's not that far. And your car's reasonably safe there. So 713-780-ESPN's the number, 713-780-3776. Yeah, somebody mentioned they have a Boysenberry Sour. The one you've got, I think she might like. So there's plenty of things to try there. And if you go to the brewery, they've got, AJ mentioned, like 20 things on tap.
Yeah, there's a lot of beer there.
Yeah, they've got that pineapple wheat from March to June, too, which I consider more of a girly beer because it's light and fruity.
Hey, I don't mind light and fruity beer. I don't know what that says about me, but, you know, I like to mix it up. But, I mean, and Lamont mentioned in the past, you mentioned that AJ turned you on to craft beer. Where beer were you drinking before, and could you still drink it? And then he asked AJ how you got turned on to craft. Well, I assume that was just from being in Austin.
Yeah, but I really started drinking more of it once I moved here because it was more accessible here. Austin, when I lived there, there was really one brewery, and it was outside of Austin, and now there's breweries everywhere in both these cities. But I've always liked good beer, and I was drinking some and Gus, who's a Sierra Nevada guy. Sierra Nevada's been around forever.
Yeah,
I drink some of that stuff.
A lot of good stuff.
It used to not be nearly as much.
I've been pounding that narwhal lately too.
But you would be,
yeah. Before, I would drink a lot of like Spaten Optimater, Spaten Oktoberfest, basically German and Belgian beers that were shipped over here. And it's funny because one of my favorite beers for the longest time was Hockershore Oktoberfest, and I've been able to get it for years. And we were over at this beer place in the Heights. We were over there for some other reason. I think we had to go to an AT&T store, and we went in there, and they had it on tap. And I tasted it, and it was awful. I hated it. It was like, this isn't the same beer. But yeah, so I drank a lot of that kind of stuff. And then really, once AJ got here, he started telling me about all these great beers, and I started trying them and liking them a lot. And yeah, I can still drink a Spaten Optimater. That's still a really good beer. But for the most part, you know, I like to support all of our local breweries. I like to support local beers. And we're all, you know, it's we've got so many good ones now and so many good breweries. And you know, I don't want to forget about St. Arnold and Carbach. I mean, those guys are still great. And Buffalo Bayou, there's just so many good ones. And, you know, these guys, it's been fun to watch how successful they've become. And I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but I wandered by on the way to the Astros opener. We were doing the show. It would have been 2 years ago, I guess. We were doing the show outside across the street from Minute Maid on opening day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And I popped in there to meet a friend for a drink, and it was just wall-to-wall people before the game. And it was so cool to see because, you know, it's that whole area, you know, I love how it's growing up. And like I said, Ryan's just kind of he's a marketing genius. He really is. 713. Now I'll be saying pounding the narwhal all week in various situations. Take that for what it is. Okay, yes, two hockey plays tonight for everybody asking. I'll get to them real quickly. Keep in mind I'm on an 0-3-1 run.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and part of it is Vegas has adjusted the overs, which now I'm having to be a little bit more I'm having to back off some games. But I got two overs for you tonight, and one of them is Chicago-Edmonton over 6. That one I like quite a bit. I also like Vegas, Minnesota over six.
All right.
By the way, there's a Golden Knights Lightning game next Thursday that we might ought to think about putting on the agenda. Because I've been trying to get to a game, and there's finally one that, hey, if we don't have anything going on that night.
Well, we lost our connection to the our ticket hook up there.
We might still be okay there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll reach out and find out. So I saw on Twitter, AJ was talking about Shaka Smart's future regarding if the University of Texas would buy out his contract. How likely do you think that's a possibility, and who would be their top head coach candidate?
Their top head coach candidate would be Chris Beard. That'd be the first guy that they call. That is... I mean, he's an alum. He's had recent success. He basically built a program that had fallen into the dumpster and took him to the Final Four in a couple years. There's no doubt that he would be their first choice. Now, would they go for it? I don't know. Would he go for it? I'm not sure. I know they would call him, though. They'd have to.
I was listening to Charlie today, and he made a really interesting point. He was talking about how if you're a big school like Florida who may be in the market for a coach,
mm-hmm.
which coach from the state of Texas would you want? And
for basketball?
Yeah.
It's Buzz Williams.
Well, that's the thing. Well, you've also got Chris Beard. You've got Scott Drew and what he's done there.
Yeah.
What Kelvin Sampson's done at UH. I mean, yeah, I would want Buzz Williams too. But, I mean, I think it's pretty amazing that you've got that many guys that people would want.
Well, and there's a couple people who asked, would Texas – make a call to Kelvin Sampson. Would they? No. Should they? Probably. They won't touch a guy who's had his past. And, you know, maybe in a way that's smart. In another way, it's like, man, sometimes you got to take a chance.
Yeah.
I don't blame Houston for taking a chance with him. And he's done wonders for them.
Well, but Houston, that's not really taking a chance at UH.
Right.
That's a guy they could never get. So.
Indiana and Oklahoma, when he was at big programs, he burned them. And, you know, I would imagine Texas isn't going to take a chance like that. That's just not in their DNA. Like I said, I think Chris Beard would be their first choice. And I think he would be the best choice. I think there's some other. I think they would. They'd probably, if Beard said no, they'd probably try to call Kevin Willard, a guy at Seton Hall. There's always guys. Every year, there's a handful of guys out there who are, you know, looking for a raise. Certainly,
they'll pay money. There's no question,
no doubt.
But it surprises me that Shaka hasn't had more success there. It really does. I thought he would at least be. You know, at least a tournament team every year. Maybe they're not national championship contenders, but I mean, it's you should be able to be that, but hasn't quite worked out.
Nope.
Hey, can I do a shout out to our buddy Trey Stiles, who we had on the show a couple weeks ago at Sam Houston Race Park?
Sure.
He played in the National Handicapping Championship last week, finished fifth.
Nice.
And so a real nice finish for him, real strong finish. I was rooting for him to win. He was right there, and, you know, these things, you got to catch the right horse at the right time, but fifth place is no joke, so congratulations, Trial. Good, Trey, good job, man. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776, if you want to get in. And so I have so many things that I want to get to today that are sportsy or non-sportsy, so I'll let you pick. I came across, and Aaron sent it to me too, somebody did a full bracket of every good character from Quentin Tarantino. And went through and did head-to-head. I don't know if we want to go through all of them because it's a lot.
Okay.
But I'm kind of curious where you would have had some of these. I think some people were underseeded.
Okay.
And there's also a few guys that I think should have gotten a lot farther, but that's just me. But I want to get to that at some point today. And the other thing, this is a video that's worth checking out hockey-wise. I don't know if you remember, well, I don't know if you even saw this, but a couple months ago, this guy Brandon Manning was suspended for dropping a racial slur on a black player.
Okay.
I don't think we have to go too far to figure out what that is.
What does he do that he was suspended?
He dropped a slur.
No, like what's his job that he got suspended?
He's a former NHL guys in the AHL right now.
Gotcha.
They were playing each other, and he said this about a guy named Boko Imama. Well, they faced off for the first time since that on Saturday. Care to guess what happened? About a couple minutes into the game, Boko drops gloves on him.
Oh, well, no.
Goes right after him. And you want to talk about karma? He absolutely destroyed him.
That's not surprising.
Yeah, if you get a chance to watch the video, it's you can find it on the internet. It's pretty funny. I mean, he just goes right after him, drops gloves, and then boom, boom, boom. It's over with. So
he even holds him up to make sure he doesn't get down to the ice so he can keep punching him.
Yeah, because in a hockey fight, once they hit the ice, they break it up. But no, he wasn't letting him down. He was just boom, boom, boom. So, you know, sometimes the karma thing, it works out okay.
Yeah.
You know, Adrian said the beer you guys always used to mention was Blood and Honey. I tried it at Revolver and fell in love. Yeah, it's a good beer. There's a lot of good beers out there. What's that? Oh, sorry. I didn't realize we were over. That's my bad.
All right, guys. I got to tell you about Pajamagram. You didn't realize we were over. You might not have realized that it's almost freaking Valentine's Day. And you can't just show up with beer for Valentine's Day. You got to do something else for your lady. And Pajamagram's got you covered. There's a brand new technology going to drive your lady wild for Valentine's called Micro Velvet, created by the PJ experts at Pajamagram, found only in their Tempting Touch PJs. It's the softest, most luxurious pajama ever created, period. End of discussion. They're addictively soft. They're begged to be touch soft. Go to pajamagram.com to get her the blissful comfort you know she deserves. It's a higher level of soft. They're relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch, and when she's happy, you'll be happy. We all know that Valentine's Day is about us. You're trying to make us happy in the long term. A Valentine's gift has never felt this tempting. Plus, no need to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging delivery by Valentine's Day, guaranteed. Visit pajamagram.com today. That's pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
We're back on The Blitz. Hey, would you like to get in on the ground floor of an exciting new project? Sports Map Live, a new site launching soon, is looking for moderators. We're not paying you for it. I want to make that clear. I had to sort through about 70 emails today from people.
And you become very famous, I must tell
you. Well, it's not
you.
Me. It's people are really interested in this and being involved. And I've got 11 really good candidates so far, so we're not going to need much more. But if you're interested, it's going to be your place to comment on Sports Map content, any of the shows throughout the day. If you're not a moderator, you can still do all this. But we do need dedicated moderators to help manage the site. If you're interested, email me at fower975@gmail.com. And like I said, I don't need too many more. I think we've got a really good group of hardcore listeners. I'm trying to make sure that we have people who listen to every show. We've got a couple guys who listen to The Usual Suspects are going to be involved. And
we need less of those.
Well, two's enough.
If
we got, you know, nine blitzers and two of them. No, but I do need, you know, people if you like The Bench or if you like Charlie. And you only have to post a couple times a week and just kind of keep an eye on things and make sure nobody gets out of line. And so just way to involve some of the listeners. And if you're interested, that's my email address. It's just fower975@gmail.com. I don't need too many more. So, you know, if you do email me, it doesn't mean you're getting in. It just means there's a chance. I'm saying there's a chance. 979 says, Florida fan, we want Billy Donovan back, and it's not far-fetched.
It's not far. Well, I don't know. I mean, is Oklahoma City going to fire him?
I mean, I don't know.
Given what he's got.
Does he want to go back? I mean, he's doing pretty well there. Well,
yeah, I think he would have to get fired by Oklahoma City.
I don't see that happening.
I don't either. But yeah, I'm sure. I mean, Florida, what a giant waste.
Yeah.
That's a team that had, I mean, coming into the season, I think I had them as a top 10 team coming into the season. I think there was some national publications had him as a top 5 team. They suck.
Yeah, that they
so they're yeah they are hoping that Billy Diamond comes back, save their ass. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that I mean, and it's funny. I mean, how many teams are really happy with the coach that they've got? Like
they're happy at UH.
Yeah,
we're very happy with him.
Yeah, and but
oh, I wish they had somebody who could hit a 3-pointer.
Yeah, I'll also say, I mean, the guys that are if you're at not a basketball mecca school. If you're happy with the coach you've got, that means somebody's chasing him.
Yeah,
which that always sucks too. So, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, hopefully that. I mean, his name's going to keep coming up because every year they're going to make the tournament.
And he's a guy who's had success predating, like, yeah. And he's had success at major program, like bigger schools. So it's no wonder his name keeps coming up. And honestly, I think his past is the best thing for Houston. Because it maybe can keep some dirty paws off of him that would otherwise come in here and try to steal him. Like
keep your dirty paws off our coach, people. Lamont asked, did the PGA suspend Fuzzy Zeller after his comments towards Tiger back in the day? I don't remember if he got suspended.
I don't either.
And I know his were just kind of, he didn't use the N-word or anything, but it was pretty bad. It was like about cooking collard greens and things like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was clear he was being a dickweed about it. But, yeah, I don't remember. I'll have to look that up.
You have to look it up, too. I don't remember.
Because golfers, it's a little different because it's, you know, they're independent contractors. And, yeah, I don't know that they can.
He said something about fried chicken or something.
Yeah, fried chicken and I think collard greens he mentioned, something like that. But yeah, and I gotta tell you, I think he'd been drinking when they asked him.
Oh, that's probably true.
Because you know, I gotta tell you, some guys get on a golf course and they drink. Yeah. Speaking of UH men's basketball, I'm a little upset because February 19th they're facing the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. It's their next home game inside the Fertitta Center, 8 p.m. We're flying to Vegas. I want to go to the game.
Womp, womp.
Cougars looking to avenge a 63-61 loss inside the Reynolds Center in Tulsa on January 11th, back in the third American game of the season. And, guys, if you haven't seen this team, they are fun. They are young. Caleb Mills leads Cougars with 13 points. Sophomore Nate Hinton tops Houston with 9.4 rebounds a game. This team has a lot of good young players. Quentin Grimes and, you know, I mentioned Mills, Nate Hinton. Those guys can play. Giroux, I mean, all of them. And they rebound like crazy. They play fantastic defense. This team's going to the tournament again, and they've only got 3 regular season home games remaining this year. How about this? If you haven't been to Fertitta Center, some guy on SportsMap wrote a thing about the 5 best sports experiences in Houston, and Fertitta Center was number 1. And rumor has it, that guy's pretty smart. Right now, you can take advantage of UH's special for the Tulsa game. Buy tickets for only $20. You purchase them at the box office at 713-GO-COUGS. The final regular season home games will be against Cincinnati and against Memphis at 11 a.m. on March 8th. And, guys, check them out. You can follow updates, get updates by following them at UHCougarMBK on Twitter. Catch up with the latest news and notes by linking, going to the team's Facebook page. You can also follow them on SportsMap. We have a write-up every single game. Check them out, man. If you haven't seen these Cougs, now's the time. Forward done.
ESPN 97.5.